guys are ridiculous. These guys are ridiculous.
Now, how about them damn Celtics?
And we are back with another episode of How About Them Celtics. Sam and I are here recording on Thursday, March 30th, right after the Celtics took down, dominated, destroyed, obliterated the Milwaukee Bucks on their own home court. Before we get into that, though, how are you doing today, Sam? Before we get it on the hype train, let's start relaxed. Let's breathe.
Let me tell you, we did the pregame.
Yes.
Wasn't thrilled. Wasn't excited. Didn't care. Said they should punt the game.
Yeah.
Hand up, my bad. My bad. The words of Big Cat.
My bad.
Hand up, my bad. But before that, maybe the vibes were good. Because just like the Celtics, I murdered the bicycle, the stationary bike today.
Ooh.
At the gym. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was in spin class. You always hear people talk about spin class on TV. You don't really know what it is. Well, at the gym that I play basketball at, they have spin classes. It's like the craziest thing ever. And I
did you do
this
spin
is not
class?
Where I did. This is not what I did today.
Oh,
I just did the regular bike.
Yeah.
But they have like all the lights off. And the stationary bikes have like Christmas lights on them, or LED lights on like the sides and stuff. Like it looks like Tron. I'll tell you what, the things it takes for people to want to get in shape. Like a lot of people need some motivation.
Hey, this is, feels like a targeted attack.
It's not targeted because it has nothing to do with you, but it fits.
All right. But I will say we do have a stationary bike at my house. So
stationary bike, sneaky fire. Knee hurts. Knees back.
Mm-hmm.
It hurt on Tuesday. It's a little better today. Mm-hmm. But I was like, all right, I'm gonna do the bike. Got a good workout. Got a sweat in. Can't complain. Mm-hmm. Can't complain. Can't be too.
Yeah,
bad
I like the treadmill
that.
More. I like the treadmill more than the stationary.
I hate the treadmill.
Really? Why?
Because when I'm at the speed I'd like to be at. One, I prefer to run outside. It's just more fun. Stuff to look at. You know, you're out and about, fresh air. Like
I'll just put like the iPad on. I'll watch like TV or something while I'm on the treadmill.
Well, if you do that and run, you might get sick.
Yeah, I don't run. Have you? Who do you think I am? What do you think this is?
I'm talking about me.
I know.
But if I'm on the treadmill, like I'm on the treadmill for a long time. Like that's a long time to be in one place doing something that you have to like.
How long
kinda,
do you
like,
do?
If I'm on the treadmill, I'm doing an hour. If I'm like in peak shape, like the way where I'd like,
I'm not gonna say I do like 10 minutes. I do like 40 minutes when I do treadmill. I do like one episode of my show.
Yeah, no, that's not bad. That's good.
I need to get back to it. I haven't done it in too long.
What are you gonna do when you have to come back to ball?
Are we doing Sunday? Sunday ball?
No.
Oh no, we have a break. Oh, that's so sad. I was looking forward to it.
Do you like poker?
I know how to play poker. I haven't played in a while. We used to play a lot when I was younger.
If poker happens, I'll let them know you're interested.
Okay.
Because last time we didn't have ball, we all did a poker at this guy Luby's house, and it was the best.
Okay, I know him. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll play,
so
sure.
Fun. All right.
Do you guys play for real money, or you play for...
Yeah, we played like $20.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I'm done. I'm done.
Good time. We were there till like 1 in the morning on a Sunday night, because literally like the game would just not end. Like Frank...
That's fire.
I think I told the story. Frank was just going... all in, not looking at his cards, and he just kept winning.
That sounds like a very Frank thing. Like that sounds like something Frank would do. Speaking of the game,
very handsome.
Oh, there you go. Speaking of the game, and this is not a transition to the Celtics just yet. I also have bought MLB The Show.
Oh,
I also have it.
Yes.
I've come to realize that I'm terrible. I was playing just like the challenges. I can't hit.
Not an easy game.
I have it right here. My biggest issue is like when I'm aiming the right stick to like hit, I'll take it all the way to one side instead of like the little adjustments in the strike zone. Like I'll just go like this and I'll panic. And so I'll just like miss the ball that way. And I'm always late. I'm always late. Okay. Show me the pro tip.
You buy these. You see this?
Oh, what are those?
These are called control freaks. I bought them last year. They'll change your life. They'll change your life.
What do they do?
They make it so it's easier to maneuver the stick like that.
How so?
Because there's
more. Do they add more resistance?
Because there's more distance between the pressure point and the actual like joystick ball, the force required to actually make the ball move is less. So it's easier to make your decision of where it's going. Like, you don't have to like jam the stick to get it to go where you want it to go, which is why it's probably tough for you to aim it, because you want to just push it to the max.
Yeah, I do. Okay. Okay. You'll have to send me the Amazon links, because I definitely will buy them and I definitely will obsess over having to be good at them. But anyways, I know we only did like 5 minutes of nonsense. We're usually good for 10. But
10, 15. We were doing 20. We were good. Yeah,
we were just talking crap when we wanted to. However, we are recording right after the game, and so I'm kind of itching to talk about it.
Oh, we're pumped.
I know. We can let this bleed into the nonsense a little bit, because I don't know how long we're going to spend on it. All-time moment after at the end of the game there. Thanasis Antetokounmpo, I don't even want to put him on the rat list, because he's already there. And
he's already been on the rat list.
We can be a little more creative with our rat list later in the show, but...
Yes.
Oh, man. I mean, first of all, did you think that was a flagrant on Blake?
No.
I don't think so either, right? And I understand, like, it was definitely a hard foul, right? And I understand why they called it one, because it was aggressive and it was above the neck or above the shoulders, whatever. Like, I understand. I
mean, essentially, you're up four, you leave him alone. That's what they said.
But you're going to, first of all, Thanasis trying way too hard. Down 40. I get it. This is the only minutes you're going to get. You want to play in those minutes. Calm down. Breathe. You got to chill. You got to stop. Second of all, commits a hard foul because you're bulldozing through everybody because you haven't scored in 10 days. And I would need to fact check that, but I assume.
Well, he unfortunately had already scored. It did take him four free throws to score. He missed the first three. But you bet your ass he knocked down that fourth one.
But Blake gives him a hard foul because, I mean, he's going to get an easy layup. And because he was being a rat before. And then you're going to headbutt him? What are we doing?
Headbutt was hilarious.
It was funny.
Let me set the scene.
It wasn't even a real headbutt, right? It was like a half-ass one, too. Weak.
Well, you can't risk a concussion for yourself. The headbutt is the most inefficient form of attack. One, you have to get really close to do it. Two, you're going to hurt yourself and potentially get brain damage. Would not surprise me if this was not Thanasis' first headbutt, because the brain damage may be there. But hilarious, nonetheless, because one, it was interesting to see Thanasis get out there and see how much cardio he's actually got, because he's not really playing a lot when he usually plays. So you don't really get to see if he's getting tuckered out. But he lasted pretty good. He might have been tired by the time he headbutted Blake, because he wanted an excuse to get out of the game, so he got ejected instead of having to maybe play the last minute because he was tired.
Interesting theory.
But then Blake laughed in his face and then went over to the bench and got Jaylen Brown's mask and pretended he needed it because his face was broken.
All time. I mean, and then amazing.
They made the announcement that Thanasis was ejected, which was great, because he literally never gets to play. And he, like, pissed away his last chance to play probably until next fall. And then, so at Fiserv, they were doing Celtics guy misses two free throws, you get free Wingstop.
Yeah.
So Blake Griffin steps up and misses the first one. Mm-hmm. Now, earlier in the quarter, Grant had gone to the line. And I thought to myself, if I was Grant, I would underhand... like hum the ball off the backboard for the first one, because I would really want to like get these people going and then just drill the second free throw to ruin their day. So Blake missed the first one, didn't do it on purpose. It kind of toileted out. But when he drilled the second free throw, he had some words for that Milwaukee crowd. He was letting them know that they're not eating tonight. They're going to be hungry. Like those kids, when the Red Sox, when they eat free, same 99. Deal in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Same thing. So that may have been sneaky highlight from garbage time. Obviously, the Jaylen Brown mask for Blake is number one, but that is a sleeper. Forsberg tweeted the video. If you didn't see it, go watch it. They were so excited. Kevin Harlan was pumping it up because there was literally nothing else to talk about in that game. He was like, are they going to get free chicken? And he sinks the free throw and he immediately like takes out his mouthpiece and starts jawing, but they cut away from him.
Also, I mean, everyone probably caught it because it happened. Immediately after, no hesitation, Thanasis headbutts Blake Griffin, just laughs at his face.
Yeah, he laughed right like, at him.
Just no other, like, not
well,
mad,
this is
not
the
upset.
First time this season that Thanasis has gotten into it with somebody. Because he got into it with Marcus on Christmas.
Yeah,
he's not really busy.
Why. It's because the Bucks also lost by 20 on Christmas. There you go. You know,
but he on Christmas, he wasn't in the game. He was on the bench. Well, you know he's not that busy. So he doesn't have a lot, like, tying him up. He has a lot of time to try and get into scuffles and stuff.
I wonder if I put in on Twitter, Thanasis headbutt.
Do you think Thanasis has to, like, show up to all the team stuff, like, where they study the scouting report? Or do you think they just kind of, like, have him show up to the games?
He's there because he needs to study, like, the other bench. He needs to know where on the bench he's going to sit. He needs to know the acceptable...
Well, he doesn't do a lot of sitting. That's the thing. He's always up.
No, that's what I was going to say. I know. That's what I was going to say. He needs to study the dimensions of the court so he can know... Because he can only step so far in the court before he gets
attacked. That's true. Nick Nurse.
So, exactly. His whole job is... You know, understanding the court. He's there 10 minutes before with a tape measure. I've seen him, right? This is sources. Okay. So he gets there early, measures the dimensions, knows how far he can walk. You know, he studies the acoustics so his claps can be heard at a maximum distance. It's really a science.
He watches prime Theo Pinson highlights from the bench.
Yep. And I will say, as much as we are clowning on and going to continue to clown on Thanasis, I don't actually have a problem with him. I know you.
Oh,
he's
a bum.
Like him. I don't
he's
actually
so annoying.
Care, but
he's annoying. Like even when he's not like trying to fight the other team, because like he's only in the league because of Giannis. That's it. Giannis, who's fantastic, but
I will say
he does come with like a barnacle on him.
Barnacle. On a serious note, and you don't have to agree. It's whatever. Teams do need that sort of energy, the vibes guy, and Thanasis does seem like the type of player where, and obviously there's the baggage of him being Giannis's brother, so that's how he got the job.
Yeah,
like,
that's the problem with it.
But like every team has that, and if you're a Bucks fan, you probably love Thanasis, just like Celtics fans love Blake or Bulls fans love Beverly.
Well, Blake's probably gonna be in the Hall of Fame, so it's a little different.
There are differences, but you know what I'm saying? Like that type of player, like are endearing to their fan bases. That being said, absolutely hilarious face made by Thanasis after he got ejected. It was just a look of like, I can't even describe the look on his face.
Well, no, it was the sheer, like it hit him. He was like, man, like that might be the last time I like people see what number I wear this season.
What number? 43. He just wears the inverse of Giannis, right?
Yeah. Tweeted, I was like, you know, like he's like getting dressed in the locker room at halftime. Like he didn't actually put his uniform on before the game, but he was like, oh man, like I'm probably going to get in today.
Oh man. Speaking of, all right, we can talk about the actual game now.
There we
go.
We killed about 15 minutes.
we just had to talk about the NASA. So that it was too good. It was too good enough to talk about. We do have some stuff to talk about. Despite the fact that the game was an absolute blowout, not even close. Was it ever close? Like in the first quarter, I guess it was kind of close.
No,
like, there was
no they pulled forward, away, but... and they really never slipped. Good on them. It's about time.
Yeah, let's take a look at this.
I pray for. This is the reason I went to church like 3 years ago on when they were in the bubble.
It's gorgeous.
Look at that. Look at that.
A little back and forth in the first quarter. A little bit at the end of the first, though, is just.
If you're
points.
Listening, we're looking at the game chart that just shows the score differential. It looks as if you're approaching like a hill.
It does. Looks like the Windows background of Microsoft. Just a giant hill.
Yeah. It's the default computer background.
But yeah, I mean, just an absolute dominant performance from the Celtics. Jason Tatum finally started hitting the threes again that we're begging him not to take. But a night like tonight is the reason he continues to take them, for better or for worse. And I'm not nothing more than that. This is not a crap on Jason Tatum night. A lot of them questionable looks.
It's a lot of fun when I get to do it, because I actually think it's really funny when I make fun of him. Whether people think it's funny or not, I think I'm out there murdering. So too bad. But I have to say. The wagon is back. It's back. This is the best win the Celtics have had in quite some time. Mm-hmm. I really couldn't tell you the last time I was this pumped about a win.
Was it their biggest win of the season? Biggest margin of victory of the season? I can't remember them winning.
I don't know if that
is that Hornets game. That Hornets game was close early in the season, if you remember.
Yeah, when Tatum had 50.
Yeah,
he was out there like trying to get 50.
No, it was a different Hornets game, wasn't it?
Really?
I don't know. I just remember them being like having 120 after the third quarter against the Hornets at one point. Anyways, I will continue to look for the
other blowout.
The other blowout, but
okay. Great game. I mean, like you said, Tatum doing stuff, Brown, bunch of points in the first quarter. I want to say it was like 17 in the first. You got your first quarter, Jaylen. Shout out to Greeny. But when the playoffs are all around, you need these guys to be reliable like this. This is the kind of thing you're looking for from your stars. Jaylen comes out, punches Milwaukee in the mouth. They really never recover after being on a back-to-back.
We're idiots. They beat the Spurs.
Three days ago. Yeah.
By 44. Yeah. This was third, actually. They beat the Nets earlier in the season by...
Oh, Kyrie's last game is a Net.
By 43. And then they
beat the
Bucks.
That's a legacy.
By 41. Yeah, a lot of the Celtics' biggest wins this year, like Spurs obviously in there, also Hornets in there. Not great, but like they beat the KD. Was KD playing?
No,
they beat the Kyrie Nets by 40 something. This fully healthy.
Bucks no, they're team. On a back to back. Doesn't count.
I don't care. By 41, they beat the Mavericks, who at the time were a pretty good team. They were playing better then, obviously now. They beat Phoenix, right? They beat the Pacers by a lot, by 25. Like they have good wins against good teams. They took down the Kings by a lot. They beat Milwaukee by 21 early. Like. The Celtics have beat good teams by a lot this season. And I mean, everything was just going right. And I do want to talk about, I want to do like a little look ahead at a playoff series with like, with also the context, like Celtics probably won't be this hot every game. They almost certainly won't be this hot every game. And the Bucks won't be this cold every game. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say this. Yeah. But we can just start here because this is going to be the point of like talking point. Forever, and we'll talk about it in this specific game. They defended Giannis so well in this game. Like, this is how you defend Giannis. You send one defender at him. When he gets into the paint, you send a second to give pressure. When he's on a drive, you bring Robert Williams. That block on Giannis, incredible. That looked like peak Rob, right?
Yeah, Rob was excellent pressure. All around today. Mm-hmm. One, he had at least three blocks, maybe four. He was dunking. He had a nice cut where he caught the ball, like, in the mid-range, took one step and then dunked on the baseline.
Four blocks.
He looks springy, looks confident. A couple of the dunks he had were dunks you were like, wow, like he looks comfortable. He doesn't look timid. Earlier in the season, you were seeing him literally like not go up with the shot right in the restricted area. Today was different against a team with good rim protection. So great for Rob. Good on him. He also had Al Horford, who looked like he picked up where he left off in game four last year in Milwaukee. He was drilling threes.
Big time.
After looking like he was lost, like he did the little thing with the baseball bat where you spin around a bunch of times and then try and run. That's what he looked like on Tuesday against the Wizards. But he was fully back today. It was really great to see him, except for at the beginning of the game when he like pulled up in a full sprint and transition, and he made it. But I was like, why are we doing this?
The 30 footer?
Yeah. No, not the deep one. Like, it was literally like the third play of the game or something. He was on the left wing and he catched the ball.
Yeah. Okay.
And he like pulled up like super fast. I said, what is going on? And it went in. He's feeling it. This is what's going to happen. They're going to make all their threes now. And then they're going to be like, we can shoot them. And then they're going to miss all of them. But they just never missed.
Shot 51.2% from three. Obscene. Good. Not going to happen consistently, but amazing game. Before we talk about Tatum, shout out Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown, another, just incredible game. Perfect amount of aggressiveness, solid three-point shooting. Like, Tatum took 10 threes, which is a lot, but, like, you understand it because when he's hot.
How many make?
Eight.
See, once you, like, make three in a row, you can take a bunch, which he did. He made three in a row at one point. I guess you probably have to make three in a row regardless if you're going to make 8 out of 10. So shut up, Sam, idiot.
Is that true?
If you only miss two shots and you make 8, I think you have to make at least 3 in a row.
Yeah, you're right. But The point is, you can live with Jason Tatum taking a lot of threes with the context that if he is in his rhythm and playing normally, he's going to make usually three or four of those, right? And three is a bad night, four is a good night. The room for error is whatever. Jaylen Brown, though, who was shooting a career low from three this season, only took five, made three of them, took 15 two-point shots, made 10 of them. That's the shot profile you need from Jaylen. And I remember the possession. I can't exactly remember who he was going up against. It was Giannis, actually. It was Giannis. He gets into the paint. He gets the ball at the elbow, dribbling around, sends Giannis deep into the paint like he's going to drive, turns around, hits a mid-range shot, goes right over Giannis' hand. That's what I mean when I say Jaylen Brown is a better bucket.
Yeah, I literally thought of you.
Right?
I was like, wow, Jack's probably like nodding his head.
Well, because it's not that he's a better scorer, but his ability to get to his spot and create a look for himself, like the awareness he has to know where on the floor he can definitely score from, that's the part of him. And if Jason Tatum developed that, which he does have it to some degree, but Jaylen Brown's just like a master of it at this point. And so shout out to him. 30 points for Jaylen, 5 and 5, 40 for Tatum, 8 and then only 1 assist. But that's fine. He was on fire. Incredible night from those two.
Al Horford, obviously. Credit. To Jimmy J.
He called it on the dot.
Jason Tatum's going to score 40 points. Jaylen will have 30 and they'll win by double digits. In the pregame chat, go back and look if not you, but like
I'm going to look right now just so I can
listeners confirm. Go look. He said it.
Also, 299 subscribers. Which one of you? Which one of you unsubbed to the channel? That's around.
Yeah, it's kind of mean.
But shout out Jimmy J if you're listening to this. Called it. 30 points for I can't find the chat right now because it's not popping up, but
the chat will pop up, but I know we put on the screen.
Oh, did we put it on the screen?
Because we talked about it. That's how I remember.
Yeah. I mean, an absolute snipe of a prediction. 40 points for Jason Tatum, 30 for Jaylen Brown. Celtics win. Like, incredible that he got it on the dot. Like exactly 40 for Tatum, exactly 30 for Jaylen Brown. I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy you were correct. But, yeah, big prediction from Jimmy J on that one. Also, shout out Al Horford. I know you mentioned him. 4 for 6 from 3, 5 for 8 from the field. Impeccable defense on Giannis and into paint against everybody. Brook Lopez did bully him a little bit on the board. Celtics early in the game were getting killed on the offensive glass, but they brought it back. They turned around. They were a little more aggressive down there, which was good.
Brook Lopez moves like the Tin Man without oil. Like, that's what I think of when I see Brook Lopez.
That's kind of a scarily accurate description.
Well, I think about these things because I'm like, how is this guy effective? He's just like a big, like, tree on defense, and it works.
I understand. No, I see it. I'm not going to sit here and say you're wrong.
You do have to really shout out Horford, though, because he was great. He was awesome. I love seeing Al play well. It was great to see him back on the defensive end because at times this season, the defense has been a bit of a question mark. As you get older, you're not going to be as athletic. What are you going to do? But if there's any team you really need him against, this is probably it in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
But really so, like, great to see him. What did you say?
I said, so you mean like the two best teams in the East?
The two other teams that you might have to compete against. But it is nice to see him defending again, especially after Kristaps had 32 on what is it, Tuesday? So he was kind of a big part of that. He said, here's maybe they have a handshake agreement where Al gets like $2 million from his new extension for letting him score that many points. I don't know. Sorry, I'm a little congested.
That's all right. But Marcus Smart, another solid game, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists. The Bucks just decided to let Jaylen Brown backdoor anytime he wanted. Just he was running right past Grayson Allen, right past anybody who was defending him. Easy dunks. Marcus Smart found him every time. Easy source of offense right there. Derek White, solid game, relatively quiet game. And in part, that was because Malcolm Brogdon was phenomenal. Huge game from Brogdon. And that's one of the biggest things for the Celtics that I really noticed. Like, as great as the Bucks are, the Celtics just have so much shot creation, right? Tatum can create his own look. White can create his own look. Brogdon can create his own look. Jaylen can create his own look. And then on the outskirts of that, like, Horford's a great passer. Rob's a great passer. I remember he had a great look. He had a rebound and he kicked it right back out to the top of the key. It was great. Marcus Smart's a great passer, right? They just have so many different guys who can either create their own shot, create looks for others, or do both. And the Bucks are great, and Drew Holiday can do that, and Chris Middleton can do that, and Giannis can do that. But outside of those three, it's just like you're really depending on other guys to really step up into roles that they're probably not best at. And that's not a shot at the Bucks because those three are great. But huge Brogdon game. Amazing from them. It seemed like Drew Holiday kind of used most of his scoring against the Pacers the other night. He never really got going. Celtics defended him fairly well. Chris Middleton, after Chris Middleton made that contested mid-range shot on JB, it was already slipping away from them, but I was like, oh no, is this the start of it? But
Adam Himmelsbach, mood in the Celtics locker room is the same as it was after the Wizards loss, basically normal.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. And I think that's the good part about this team, that people will complain about the fact that they're too blasé after a bad Wizards loss, which we can talk about the Wizards loss a little bit, but like they're just so level-headed no matter what, which I think is a good thing overall. It's just frustrating when you see it in the bad moments.
The only thing that was annoying, well, the Wizards loss is somewhat magnified now because had you not played like a bunch of idiots on Tuesday, this would be like Bucks are dead. You're going to catch them for the one seed today, but you're still not going to catch them. Like they still have to lose twice. And if they lose twice, you literally have to win all your games.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sucks. You know, it would be nice to have the one seed. Wouldn't have to play Philly in the second round. Not that Philly's like particularly scary, but they still are the third best team in the conference. Well, so you'd rather not play them. Way.
It's like, I'm not saying it's likely, but like, it's not like the Bucks have a necessarily easy schedule. They have Philly as well. They have to play Philly. They have to play
Celtics
Memphis.
Do too.
Mm-hmm. They have to play Memphis, right? And Celtics also have to play Toronto, but Milwaukee has to play Toronto. Maybe Washington can rectify their sins against the Celtics, against the Bucks.
Well, it's less there, about but... the Milwaukee isn't going to lose two games, because even if they do, the Celtics cannot lose to catch them because they're two games back. They have to be – no, it's not – it's they literally have to be – two games better than Milwaukee.
Yeah, that is the tough part. Like, and the Celtics can do that, and they're good enough to do that, and they might have the juice to do that after this game, because like you look at the schedule, they got Utah, who they should probably want some revenge against. They got Philly, who they pretty regularly get up against. Philly, they don't like to lose against.
All right, if there was ever a game to punt, doubling down, you punt against Philly on Tuesday.
Why?
Because you don't need them getting any kind of, like, we beat them with their full team.
Well, no, because they're still right behind you for the two seed. You can't lose the
right
two
behind
seed.
Their 2.5 games back. They're still but there. You can't. They're still around. They're not right behind.
I don't think you can punt against Philly.
With what, and five games to play?
Yeah, and I don't think you'd want to punt against Philly. I don't know. It just seems
It would be fun to beat them four times. Like I said, punt today, so take it with a grain of salt.
You know what? Maybe you hold out. Philly actually has six games left, so you got to be a little careful there. But you have to be cautious, because actually that's not what I was going to say. Maybe you hold JB and JT out and just let Horford drop 40 on the Sixers. Just let him get his revenge.
That would be really funny if he just killed them, because they hate Al Horford. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of all the people to hate, imagine hating Al Horford. Like, he's like the nicest guy, it seems like.
How upset are you that the Celtics kind of punted the one seed, or not punted it, but lost the chase?
Oh, I actually wanted to talk about this. I'm glad you brought it up. So I think, and this is not like me doing a character or anything, I legitimately think it's super embarrassing that they don't have the one seed. And you may say, why, Sam? Why do you think that way? Well, for the first 2 months of the season, the whole media, like row, crowned them champion, said they're the greatest team ever. And they were just steamrolling everybody. Everybody was like, oh my God, like, how did this team not win the title last year? Which I still think all the time, because I truly don't know how they didn't win. But, okay, you were the best team on the earth, like, best team ever, whatever. Best offense ever, which I hated at the time. I was like, this is stupid. Stop talking about it. And now, not only did you lose the one seed twice, you lost it twice. You lost it, then you got it back, then you lost it again. You lost it, and now you're back. It was three games before today. Now it's two. Like, I don't know. Everybody crowning you champs and then you can't kind of hold on. I know the regular season isn't the end-all be-all. This isn't soccer where you have to come in first to win the title. But it kind of sucks a little bit. It doesn't mean the season's over. It's not gloom and doom. It's just like, it's a little embarrassing that like everybody was like, you're the best team and you couldn't do anything about it. you had the position, like, crazy start to the year, and you just were like, here, Milwaukee, have it.
I don't like the word embarrassing.
Like, I do. It's all I can think of, though.
My
Very disappointing.
Yeah, that's what I was, disappointing, yes. But, like, in hindsight,
I'll say this. Tonight takes the sting off of it altogether.
Sure,
doesn't mean it's great that they don't have the one seed. Doesn't mean home court doesn't matter. But in terms of, like, the shame and, like, having them overtake you after everyone was like, you're the best.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you just, like, literally committed animal abuse. That would have been so much funnier if I didn't stutter.
I texted Sam during the game. I said something along the lines of, like, this loss sucks in the context, or this win sucks, sorry, in the context that they could be closer to the one seed and rolling if they hadn't lost to Washington. And I think it would have stung like that if they had won by like 10 or 15 or like even 20, like a good victory, but like nothing insane, but like they were like 41. Like it wasn't even like close to being
wasn't close. There was no doubt. Like I took insurance like an idiot, just wasted $15. Cause I was like, I'm getting my money's worth if they lose this.
But as far as the one seed, like I think in hindsight, like that level of play at the start of the season wasn't sustainable, right? They were never going to be that hot for a whole season.
Why not?
And you don't shoot, like,
in terms of what?
They were shooting like 44% for the first like 20 games from three. Like you're just not going to be 44% hot for a season, right?
That's true. But in my opinion, you should be able to win games without doing that.
I agree. But what I was going to say is I think that when the shots didn't fall, it shell-shocked them. This isn't an excuse. This is just like a thought process of what I think happened.
Fair.
I think they got a little shell-shocked. I think the defense wasn't there yet. And I think that was partly they were so used to winning with offense and partly they were just getting Rob back. So they were like, they were juggling the adjustments of A, having a new coach because they had to, B, getting Rob back before the season and having to adjust back to him and change the defense a little bit, and C, the shots got cold at like probably the worst possible time. Like it probably would have been better for them to struggle on offense at the start of the season, figure things out with defense, then get hot when Rob came back so they could rely on their offense a little bit more and also wait for the defense. Again, not excuses, just
maybe
my explanation of how I think
happened. Here's why, real quick.
Sure.
If they come out at the beginning of the season like shit themselves, Udoka would be like coming out all over the place like, oh my God, like I can't believe they let this guy go. Like Missoula's not ready. This team is done. Like that ruined
the narratives would have been spun.
Yeah,
well, I'm not.
They would have had a field day with that.
I'm not saying like I wanted them to be like struggling. I'm just saying like maybe hope that the offense wasn't like that dominant. Maybe like have them go. What did they start? 21-5, something like that. I can't remember the exact number, but maybe they go like 19-7 or 16-10 or like a good team, a top four team, but not this crazy like get on this high horse that the offense is gonna be hot this season.
Yeah.
That way they'd have to like hone in on their defense a little bit more, focus in other areas. And so I'm not saying the hot start necessarily hurt them, but I do think it set unrealistic expectations, because I said this earlier, like this is a great Celtics team. This is a really good Celtics team. It is not a generational team. This Bucks team is not a generational talent, right? There are no generationally good, like dominant teams like the Warriors or the Heatles or the Bulls or the you know the Lakers and the Celtics of old, right? Those teams just don't exist right now. And you can see that if you just take a look across the Western Conference, where like nine different teams are 500, right?
Yeah.
And so I think the expectations got set a little too high. Obviously, every team has a rough patch. But their rough patch was compounded by the fact that they were so used to winning with the offense. And then they also had all these moving pieces that they had to figure things out. And also, let's not ignore the fact that the Bucks went on a 16-game win streak in the middle of the season, right? And that's not a diss at the Bucks or saying, like, you know, that's ridiculous. Like, blame everything on the Bucks. Like, they did their job. They did what they're supposed to do. And the Celtics were just also simultaneously going through a rough patch. And the Bucks went through their rough patch at the start of the season when they were injured. And so I think these two teams are very, very even. It's just the way the season played out. The Bucks just got a little bit further ahead because the Celtics had a little bit more things to figure out than they did, if that makes sense, right? They had the X factor of Joe Mazzulla coming in new. They had Robert Williams coming off two knee surgeries and jumping back in halfway through the season. They had, you know, Malcolm Brogdon being adjusted into the lineup. And this isn't like, you know, saying the Bucks didn't have stuff to deal with. Giannis was out, right? Chris Middleton had to be reinvented into the lineup, but they had the same coach. They've been playing with Middleton for years now, and not saying that Robert hasn't been on the team, but he hasn't really been in that prominent role outside of last season.
Right.
Right. two very even teams. The Celtics just had a little bit more things to work through, and that's where you're seeing that gap. And I mean, numerically, the Celtics still aren't out of the one seed. They could still get it. It's looking rough, but I think that's where you saw the standings. So that's why I wouldn't use embarrassing. Disappointing, yes, because they had it and they could have and they probably should have, but like it sucks and you'd want them to get it. But that's sort of how I rationalize and how I think about how it went down.
I think that's fair. Maybe embarrassing is more for the fan base because we are all like, oh my God, they're going to kill everybody.
Sure.
And then you have all the fans saying like, what happened? And it's like, well, shit, what happened? What happened to this team? But then they were like, hey, remember us? And they just slaughtered them today. They went out there and, I mean, should they have won by 50? Yeah, probably. Like, did they let the NASA score? They did, like, pretty bad.
Only Sam, after a 40-point win, they should have won by 50. This is disappointing.
I almost tweeted, like, this is actually really bad. Like, they should have won by 50, guys. Like, stop celebrating, you idiots. But I didn't. I was like, I'll let people enjoy it. Did you see the wagon pick is back?
I love the wagon pick. I'm a big fan.
I tweeted it.
I'm a big fan.
I tweeted a special version of it. Oh, you saw it?
Yeah,
was
you holding it? Oh, didn't I not?
You like it.
I wasn't on Twitter much today. I got on for my one banger tweet, and then I jumped off. I do want to talk about a potential series between the Bucks and the Celtics, because I think now is a good time to talk about it. I jumped into a Bucks. Do you know, his name's like Nathan Marizon or whatever. He's a big Bucks fan. Big Celtics hater, most Bucks fans are Celtics haters. Most Celtics fans are Bucks haters. That's just how it is, whatever. no hate on the guy, but he said something that's interesting and I want to talk about. He was asking, the question basically was like, he said like, Celtics aren't always going to be the top. The Bucks aren't always going to be as bad. The normal fan coping, whatever, after a loss, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things is correct, right? The Celtics aren't always going to shoot 50% from three. It was right after the game.
Oh, okay.
And Bucks aren't always going to shoot. What did the Bucks shoot from three?
Not very good.
32%, 37% from the field, right? That's not going to happen. That's not to say the Celtics didn't play great defense, because they absolutely did. But the Bucks will, like, I mean, you saw it a little at the end of the first half, like Giannis being a little bit more aggressive, getting the paint, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. A game like this is a 7-game series isn't going to be, you know, 4 games of this. However,
I sure would like it if it was.
Imagine.
Screw all you that's like, I want 7 games of this. I'm ready. I'm back. Like, if you want 7 games, like, go F yourself.
No, like, 4 games.
Your team's not involved if you're saying please.
I would love seven games. Yeah, I would love 7 games of like Kings Warriors or something else. So, like, that's fine.
Neutrals, piss off. I hate you. Look at me. I hate you.
Subscribe to YouTube.
7 games of this, please. Shut up.
But he said something that's interesting because I think it might be true. And I'm not saying I think the Bucks will win because of this, but he said, I think the Bucks have the better top three. And I think
Giannis is the best player.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tatum's next.
And I think Jaylen's next after that. However, yep. I think the Bucks probably have the next two. Chris and Drew. I would say
it's probably fair.
Which is fair. It's close. It's not like, you know, completely one sided.
Do you really have the best three if you only have one of the top three, though? Like,
another argument. He also said, I think the Bucks have the best four. And I
don't know about that one, Chief.
No, I also agree. I think they probably do. Right? You compare fours. You look at Giannis, Drew, Chris, and Brooke versus Jason, Jaylen. Who do you
Derek
want to
Derek White.
Pick them. Derek White and let's just say Marcus Smart, right?
Okay.
You can throw in Al Horford, you can throw in Brogdon, whatever.
Well, that's right? The beauty of the Celtics. Is there's
exactly.
Only three other guys you could probably put in there.
Exactly, sure. But like, I would probably argue the Bucks also have the better four. Like, talent wise, if you go one to one comparison, that's probably a little better. I think where the difference is and why the Celtics are able to play them so well. And don't get me wrong, like, this isn't a shot at the Bucks. Like, the Bucks could absolutely win a series against the Celtics. Yeah. I think this is probably on paper the most even series and the best series. Like, I think this should be the finals. I'll put it that way. I think these are the two best teams in the NBA.
I actually would like if it didn't happen, as long as the Celtics still made it as far as I'd like them to.
Sure, but I think where you see the real difference is past the top four, right? Say you throw White and who's the fourth player? Just pick Al Horford, Brogdon, pick one.
Say Al Horford.
Okay.
Because he's important for his defense in this situation.
Sure. You look past that, and you're looking at, for the Celtics, Smart, Brogdon, Robert Williams, Grant Williams versus Bobby Portis, Jay
Stuck
Crowder,
Grant in there.
Grace. Well, I mean, the next four players in the Celtics, he is.
I'm
there,
just
right?
teasing.
Objectively, let's breathe here. Do you want me to put Luke Kornet in there instead?
Teammate of the year, Grant Williams.
Come on. Marcus Brogdon, Grant, and Rob versus Bobby Portis, Grayson Allen, Jay Crowder, Joe Ingles.
Yeah, that's not a big drop off.
You know what I'm saying?
Bobby Portis is good.
That's what I was saying. Bobby Portis is in there.
Not good.
Like, if you look at what would that be? 9 through 16 in the series, since it's 4-4. The Celtics probably have 4 out of 5 of the first, you know, next whatever, right? Like that. Yeah. That's where the difference is going to be. Bobby Portis in there, fine, but I'm taking
the longer
Marcus
the
Smart.
Series goes, I feel like that favors the Celtics
the more
because,
that matters. Yes.
Like you saw last year, Giannis really had to do a lot by himself, per se. Mm-hmm. He still had great games come from Jrue Holiday, who had big moments in that series, mm-hmm. but like. In game 7, like I remember like the shot of Giannis like exhausted and it showed like all the stats he had for that series, like 200 points, like 100 assists, 100 rebounds or like whatever it is, crazy like totals he had. He had to do that to get them there. That takes a
yes.
toll on a guy like him
and
who's always crashing around because that's just the way he plays.
Yeah, and I'm not going to rule out the possibility that Giannis just takes over for a few games because he's perfectly capable of that. Like he can win a game by himself, drop 60 points, do something stupid, like squeak out of games for the Bucks. Like that could happen. And like I said, the Bucks top four is probably marginally a little bit better than the Celtics. I mean, they have a defensive player of the year caliber player. If you want to put Marcus in the Celtics top four, they have that too, sure. But this year, Brook Lopez has been the best defender in the NBA or one of the top three. Marcus.
I really don't
has
know how.
But
he just stands there. He's just big.
But he is. And they utilize him well, right? Jrue Holiday was an all-star this year. Chris Middleton is up there. He's struggled a little bit coming back from injury, but he's gotten better. Like, you look at that top four versus, like, the 3 and 4 of Celtics top four are, like, closer to role players than all-stars. And that's not a shot at them. Right, because they play their job well and they have so much depth that it makes up for that. But the Bucks have a slightly more top-heavy team, and that's not say like Bobby Portis, good player. Grayson Allen has played well for them this year. Jay Crowder, Pat Connaughton, they have good depth, but the Celtics have starting quality depth, and I think that's where the difference is. Like the Bucks may have a slightly better top-end talent, the Celtics have a better bench like depth talent. And I think that's what makes a series like this so even. And it's why you're going to see, as much as you hate it, shit's probably going 7, Sam. I hate to say it.
I don't care if it goes 6-7, but I hate the people that root for it to go 7.
I know.
Like, you can
I know, but
literally, like, kick rocks, dude. Like,
but it is.
Your team's not involved. Like, yeah, go ahead. Sit there and be like, this is the best thing ever. I'm a basketball purist. I just love the game. Shut up. You're the worst. You okay?
Yeah. No.
Does
yeah,
that
sorry,
hurt your feelings?
No, I was answering a text.
You made me uncomfortable when you do that. Like I'm saying something kind of mean, and then you just sit there.
I'm just gonna start being silent. I'm gonna pretend like I'm frozen every time I'm saying something mean. Every time you say something mean.
Oh, but, the frozen thing isn't cool. I remember Tim did that to me once on a stream, and I like was like, "That's not cool. Don't do that."
Oh man, but in all seriousness, like that's why this series is so even. And as much as you can see, and you're gonna hate hearing this, as much as you can see a night like this. You could probably equally see a night where the Celtics shoot.
So
like
in game 1
play.
Last year.
Exactly. Exactly. You can see the opposite. You can see a blowout, and that can happen. But I think over the course
Although,
of the series. Yeah.
I haven't seen Milwaukee play the Celtics very good since game 1 last year.
Yeah.
Go back to that series. Game 1, Milwaukee wins handedly. Decisive win.
A lot of people thought it was done.
Game 2, Celtics blow the doors off. Game 3, Celtics, I want to say were getting blown out, came all the way back, took a lead, then kicked it away / got kind of screwed on a Marcus Smart shot that they didn't say was in the shooting motion where he would have got 3 free throws to tie
the
game.
Oh, I remember that. Was that the one where Horford almost won at the buzzer too?
Yes. Yeah, it was that game. So that game was close. And they kind of got screwed. Game 4, they win. Game 5, they said, please beat us. Please. Like, we're going to give you this game. And then Milwaukee lost game 6 and 7 pretty handedly.
Convincingly.
This season, Christmas, punked. Time after, the bench, those guys that aren't in the top 4 that we just talked about, almost went into Milwaukee and won. Took overtime to beat them for Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Today, 41. Should have been 50.
But
the Celtics have played Milwaukee very well.
They have. And that's why I think the series this year is so interesting. And all the people that say, didn't have Middleton. Like, sure. Would the series have been different with Middleton?
They didn't have Middleton in the second half today, idiot.
You're right.
He had to leave.
Oh, my God. They definitely would have come back from down 30 if they had Middleton, right? Shit.
That was terrible. They were like, let's show all this blood.
Yeah, he got rocked.
Here's what blood looks like.
You know what's funny? That wasn't a flagrant, but Blake.
I didn't think. So on the replay, obviously.
I don't think it was either.
This is not what I'm saying.
No.
But I didn't even see him get hit in the face. Like, it looked like he got, like, hit in the chest. And then he went down. He was bleeding. Like, I was like, where was the contact there that made him bleed?
He got elbowed. Jalen's
it looked
elbow.
Like the elbow got him, like, right here. Like, right in the chest.
No, it got him right in the chin. I saw it.
He got terrible. In the face. I hate seeing that stuff. It's not good.
Yeah, no, it's tough. He got rocked. It's not a shot at Middleton. It was like nothing intentional from Jalen. Like, he was just going to do a Euro step and the elbow.
The best tweet
the
was Greeny. He was like, "That this is literally a regular Giannis drive. Like, he does that literally every time."
He does do
which
that.
Which is actually kind of true.
He does.
And I'm not like a Giannis plays football guy. Like, I hate Giannis.
No. Those people.
No. I like
those
Giannis.
People are so lame.
I mean, so there's truth to it. Like, because what Greeny said is true. Like, he literally does that every time, and the league can't call him on it. How funny would it be if Giannis got like 6 offensive fouls in like the first half in a playoff game? They were like, okay, that's enough of this. Like, you're going to have to shoot jumpers.
Imagine. Oh, man. No, I think a series should be really interesting to watch. And like, speaking from a neutral fan perspective for just a second. Speaking from a neutral perspective, like,
you have like 10 seconds before I start wishing death on you, so go.
I'm not gonna like say I wish for 7 games. It's more of like looking at them objectively. It's very even on paper, right? You look at Giannis,
it feels that way.
Giannis versus Tatum, obviously the edge goes to Giannis, but 2 like top 5 players in the league. You look at, you know, Chris Middleton versus Jaylen Brown. Obviously, this season, the edge probably goes to Jaylen, but they're both great shot makers. They can both make plays for you, right? You look at Marcus Smart, Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday's played an all-star level this season. Give him the credit. But you also have Derek White to back up Marcus Smart because there's nobody really on the Bucks that can match that, right? You look at the bench. You have different positions, but Bobby Portis and Malcolm Brogdon, 2 6-man of the year candidates playing great basketball. You look at Brooke Lopez versus Al Horford and Robert Williams, like a defensive player of the year big man versus 2 of like the best big tandems in the league. Whatever you want to call it, right? Grayson Allen off the bench, or excuse me, the starting lineup playing a solid role for the Bucks. You got Grant Williams like shooting his threes and hopefully having another big game against the Bucks. Like it is very even. You go down the list and listening to Reggie Miller say it on the broadcast, like Philly doesn't have the depth. Like these are just so clearly the best 2 teams in the league, and the Nuggets can be on that level too. We just haven't seen them do it in the playoffs consistently enough for you to like put them in that column with them. But like, this, like, if this series happens, and when it happens, if we're just, like, being real, like, it's going to be a bloodbath, no pun intended. Sorry, Chris Middleton, but, like, it is going to be so back and forth. Like, you're one game, like, it wouldn't surprise me if every game comes to within 10 points, just because, like, you know how much Giannis wants revenge after last year. You know how badly the Celtics want to get back to the finals.
After today.
Right? Like, both of these teams are going to be fighting and clawing for the chance to face whoever the hell comes out of the West in the Mickey Mouse finals.
It's like,
going
to be a terrible, terrible like time to be alive.
It's going to be very stressful.
It's going to be like, it's literally going to be like, oh my God, the Celtics are the greatest team. Oh my God, they're going to lose. Like, oh my God, they're not winning another game. Like, that's how it's going to feel.
From the neutral perspective, the NBA's dream, right? Like, it's great, but it's going to be very interesting to watch.
I would watch. Almost more than like seeing the Celtics win, I would love it to go in 4 games just to like shove it to all those people. Like we want 7 games crowd.
What are the chances the Bucks lose in the second round?
Probably 0. Just because whichever team they I will say Cleveland is kind of well equipped to play against them because they have good bigs.
To protect they do. Them, they have. You know. They don't have strong bigs though.
That's true.
Well, yeah. I don't want to disrespect Jared Allen like that, but like,
he's not known for being a big dude.
He's also not
known for being athletic.
Yeah, but not quick athletic, like jump athletic.
Jump.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Playoffs this year are going to be fun. I know you've said that many times.
Yeah, I'm actually like really excited.
I think we've covered the Bucks game a lot to the point
we did a good job. Credit to us. When's the last time you heard us talk about a win for that long? Never.
We were hyped. I mean, we talked about the series for a while.
It's a good win. Last thing, I really think the way the Celtics have played against Milwaukee over the last pick however many games gives them a bit of an edge.
Definitely. The mental edge at the very least.
If I'm feeling good, those guys have to be feeling good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's take a look at some. We can keep it to the West if you want, because I know you don't like to talk about
the East, it's like, Milwaukee beats whoever they're going to beat in the first round. Celtics beat whoever they're going to beat in the first round.
Let's just take a look quickly. Let's start with the play-in. Like
everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows the prediction.
We're not going to go in depth. We'll go more in depth once we actually know the seedings, but like, we'll go like this. Bulls Raptors, who wins?
I say Toronto.
It seems so meaningless. I agree. I think Toronto would probably win that game, but at the same time, all it would take was like DeRozan.
This
Levine or somebody to get out.
Not us. I think it's really dumb that. You know how I think the play-in should work?
How?
Or not so much the play-in, but the playoff seeding.
Yeah.
In the first round, top seed gets to pick.
Yeah.
You get to pick who you want. Because this is kind of unfair to both Boston and Milwaukee that they're like at the top of the conference and they don't know who they're going to play.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you still wouldn't know who you get to play either, like because of the play-in, right? Like even if you got to choose, you have to wait till after the play-in to choose.
Well, yeah, but you would get to pick.
Well, yeah, but I doubt they'd pick the Knicks or the Nets over anybody else.
No, but like meaning like you could. Okay, so say you're Milwaukee, right?
Sure.
And you really don't want to play Miami. You're the one seed.
You say we'll take anybody else. Play-in team. There's four play-in teams though, so you'd have to wait
after the play-in.
After the
you
first
will go, play-in. You will earn that one seed, knowing with the reassurance that you can pick the other team that's not Miami. Okay. If Miami comes out and loses the first play-in game, the only team they can play is Milwaukee. You know.
Yeah, no, sure. Anyways.
Or like, better yet, the Western Conference.
Sure. Anyways, okay, so we'll both go Raptors. Hawks, Heat, who wins?
That's a tough one. I say Hawks just because the Heat have actually been like a dumpster fire.
Okay. Okay, maybe some.
I think the Paper's a better team. Don't get me wrong. I think they're a talented team. I think they're coached well. But they're literally like letting everyone beat the shit out of them. So I don't trust them.
Agree. All right. And then we'll go Heat Raptors. Who wins?
Miami wins.
Okay, so that would set up a Heat Bucks series, which very entertaining. I
sure
think it would be
like
fun
that over this.
And maybe that's just us internally hoping that the Heat lose the first one because you don't want to deal with it.
But no, I truly just don't think they've been very good lately, which would carry over to Milwaukee killing them.
Sure. Okay, so you said Milwaukee over Miami.
Yeah, and they might end Fat Lowry's career.
Celtics Hawks in a series.
Celtics have really played the Hawks well, despite that dude in our chat today that was trying to talk.
That would be, for a neutral fan, that would be such a shit series. That's so, like, there's no storyline. So there's nothing to watch. Yeah.
Well, there's Al Horford.
Yeah.
Used to play there. Jalen's from there.
Sixers Nets.
Sixers beat him.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah. Cavs Knicks. I know you love the Knicks.
That's tough.
It's going to be a good series.
I like Cavs. I think the Cavs are the third best team in the conference, to be honest with you. I really do.
There you go. I think that might go 6 or 7, but I think
Cavs. Oh, I think it would be a close series just because the Knicks are really gritty. They're a pain in the ass. Like, they play hard. Mm-hmm. But I really think Cleveland's good. Like, mm-hmm. I'm in on Cleveland. Mitchell's for real. He's made the playoffs every year. Bigs are good. Like, Garland's a great player.
I disrespected Mitchell when the trade happened. I regret it.
Yeah, you said Colin Sexton is just as good.
That was dumb, admittedly. Bucks, Cavs, Bucks would.
The Bucks would beat them, but I think it would be closer than people think.
Mm-hmm. Celtics, Sixers.
I think the Celtics like slap them around.
Yep, and then we just spent 20 minutes talking about a Bucks Celtics series. So if you fast forwarded to this point for some reason, just go back and listen.
I think the Celtics might win that in six. Wow, Sam, did you record this right after they won by 41? Yeah, I did. But you look back, like, Celtics have won 4 out of 5 against Milwaukee now.
Yeah. And the one game was, you know, the
5 out of 7.
Mm-hmm. The real reason we did this activity is so we could look at the Western Conference, though. So let's do that. Right now, the first play-in game would be Thunder Pelicans.
OKC's a wagon.
So you're going to OKC in that game?
Yeah. Because Pelicans have also been, like, terrible for the second.
They've been up and down. Lakers Timberwolves in the play-in.
That's tough too.
Objective.
You probably have to go Lakers just because Gobert's on the Timberwolves.
Timberwolves have been okay.
And they don't have playing Pat Bev anymore.
True. That would set up Thunder.
Did I say the Bulls were gonna lose? I should retract that. Pat Bev's back.
You never know. They could get hot for two games. You really don't know.
If they win, I really want to see him like do the same celebration.
Imagine they beat the Raptors and then the Heat or the Hawks. Like, it's possible they could get in. It's just two games. That's the beauty of the play-in.
One of my favorites that is not a Celtics.
Thunder Timberwolves.
That's tough. I say Minnesota. I think Minnesota's had a really strong second half here.
Mm-hmm. It would be entertaining to see OKC get in. I'd love to see OKC get in.
I'm rooting heavy for OKC. Rooting heavy for the Kings. Those are my two favorites. Okay. Those are the teams I'd like to see do well. Clippers too.
Agree. I'd like to see the Nuggets do well. I know they're good, but like
I just don't care about the Nuggets. They bore me. Don't care.
That would lead to a Nuggets Timberwolves playoff series.
Oh, Nuggets beat them up.
Yeah, Nuggets beat them up. Agree. Well, you have Rudy though for Jokic.
Yeah, he sucks. He's so bad.
That would be Grizzlies Lakers. I'll make you think a little bit.
No, Grizzlies.
They put up a fight. Kings Warriors.
I think the Warriors beat them.
I disagree. I think the Kings would win.
It's tough. We don't know yet. We still have like how many games left for the Warriors? 5. Like, I know. Are they going to get it together in the next 5?
We don't know.
It's just tough to pick against the Warriors when you have a team with no playoff experience on the other end.
Sure. That would leave Suns Clippers. Not bad. That's a good series. Agree.
I would really like Golden State to fall into the play-in.
Me too.
Just so they can play the Grizzlies.
Yes, that'd be all time.
That's the only reason why. I actually like the Warriors. Like, I kind of root for them, but I don't want to play the Kings. To be completely honest, if I could hand pick my matchups, Warriors, Grizzlies, Kings, Lakers.
That would be fun. That'd be fun. Okay, then
because
who gets
the Kings and Lakers have history. That's like the only team ever that the Kings have history with.
Yeah. That's because everyone has history with the Lakers. Who gets
well,
into
the semifinals? No, it's because the Kings literally have been good for like 2 years.
I know. Who gets into the conference finals then? That would leave. Oh God, what would that even leave?
So I'm left on mine with Denver, Phoenix.
Versus Suns. And I would have Grizzlies Kings, and you would have Grizzlies. Warriors, which would be good. That's good.
Hands
that's fine.
Together.
I'd say the Grizzlies beat the Kings, but I low key think the Warriors might beat the Grizzlies, which would be hilarious.
I think the Suns get past Denver.
I think Denver beats Phoenix.
I don't think so.
That's fair. I mean, KD, whatever. So that would leave you with
who knows
what Grizzlies Warriors
all have a chance to make a big three to cut the lead to 42 again.
I hope so. Who would you have, Warriors or Grizzlies?
I think. This is such a wrestling like storyline, but I think it's like the passing of the torch where like the Grizzlies like down them and they all like respect them after, like after beefing all year and they like dap each other up.
I don't think they would. I think they'd be pissed.
No, I don't. I think it would be Pistons exit for the Warriors if they lost to Memphis.
Do you think they would? That'd be a good series.
I would pick Memphis just because I think the story's better.
So then you'd have Memphis, Phoenix.
See you later.
I would have Memphis Nuggets.
Phoenix, easy.
I think Nuggets. So you think Phoenix is going to the finals this year?
Have not watched a lot of Phoenix, gotta admit it, but love me some KD.
Sure.
Okay. KD, out of all those guys, has proved himself the most. Sam, he left to play for the Warriors. Yeah, he's got two finals MVPs, though.
I don't think any of those teams beat the Celtics or the Bucks, though.
I think KD's the best player in the conference.
Maybe. No, Jokic better.
Not in the playoffs. Not yet. Not yet in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, over the last few years, you have an argument, though. Are you kidding me? KD got pwned last year. He got killed.
So did Jokic.
Jokic made second. Did he make second round? No, he lost first round. You're right. Well,
they
I mean,
lost the first round.
In the slight defense, yeah, Jokic was on his lonesome. Jokic was chilling on his by himself.
What do you mean? KD had Ben Simmons just sitting there watching him in the clown outfit.
All right.
Also, shout out to Ben Simmons, who's not going to play.
True. He's done. So, anyways, I think that's all I got.
Ratless.
Oh, yes. Ratless. What do you got?
Ratless of the week. NBA officials, ratless. You may say, Sam, why? Why are the officials on the ratless? The Celtics just beat Milwaukee by 41. Well, since January 29th, the Lakers have been leading the league in free throw differential by a wide margin. January 28th, the day LeBron acted as if he was shot at the Garden when he was not given free throws at the end of regulation, then said, why does this always happen to us? So the refs have now given the Lakers, as of March 27th, 263 more free throws than their opponents. The next highest total is 123. That is over... That is 140 more free throws differential than the next highest team. Rat list. Make sure LeBron gets in that play-in, NBA. Good job, Adam Silver. Bald. I can't hear you.
Sorry, I was muted. I was going to say something similar. I think I was going to go Lakers. I forgot to prepare a rat list today immediately, so I'm kind of thinking on the spot here. But
rat list the Nets.
That was one of mine. Yeah, that was the easy one. That was my go-to, but he deserves to be there.
Rat list. Kyrie rat list? I don't think Kyrie said anything rat list.
I don't think it's been his fault since like
Draymond rat list. Didn't he like kick somebody?
A little bit. There was a hint of it against the Pelicans. Maybe rat list. It's not a rat list necessarily, but I will rat list Draymond just because I want to talk about the moment. Okay. Did you see the video of him? Warriors down like 20. I respect Draymond for still talking. You see the video of him and Herb Jones?
Yeah, and like Herb Jones was like, they're subbing you out.
Yeah, he's talking trash to Herb Jones, clapping, getting his face. Herb Jones, deadpan, no emotion, doesn't care. Just looks up and he goes, they're subbing you out, bro. And he just looks at the bench. And Draymond turns over and he starts screaming. He yells at Steve Kerr, yelling in his face. It was hilarious. Draymond's screaming at the bench.
Dude, Draymond rules. I know Draymond. Like Celtics fans hate that guy, but he's awesome.
I agree. I love
if he was on the Celtics, you would love him.
And to his credit, they won the game. They won the game. So give
and they won the game. And everyone was like, shout out Draymond for yelling at everybody.
Yeah.
Hold on. Double down on NBA officials rat list. The Trae Young ejection.
Oh, I didn't see.
Did you see that?
No.
Trae Young was ejected this week for throwing the ball to the official. They said he did it forcefully. It did not look forceful to me. And he was very surprised, as were his teammates.
When Sam is backing up Trae Young, that's when you know it's a rat list.
I thought it was ridiculous. And if you want to make it a hat trick for officials across the world, the MLB umpires rat list. Did you see JT Realmuto get thrown from the game?
Oh, that was a little ejected.
His glove.
That was a little aggressive, Trae Young. Not ejection worthy, but I see what they were going for.
Yeah.
I did see the JT Realmuto ejection. Rat list. Put him on the list.
Hat trick for the officials this week.
Oh, I do have a rat list.
Nice.
JJ Redick rat list. JJ Redick on the rat list. You can't talk about Al Horford shooting. And then the immediate next game, it wasn't even like Al Horford just had an off night.
In fairness to J.J. Redick, the pod came out today, officially released today, and then Al Horford was nasty. So
sure. However, the narratives went on Twitter. J.J. even responded to them with Greeny about the threes. And it's not even like for the context, they talked about how great Al Horford was shooting from three, and then after they recorded, Horford shot like crap against the Wizards.
Yeah,
but it's not even like he had a bad night. Yeah, it's not even like he had a bad night. He was like airballing threes. It wasn't even close. Like he was so off against the Wizards, it was nuts. So slight rat list, even though I do love the pod, JJ. Please.
JJ, semi-rat list for me too. Brought up game four. Rat move. Don't do that. Didn't need to like get hit in the chest today when I was like listening to it at the urinal at work. Like, he's just like, so what happened in game four? And I wanted to be like, they shot a bunch of threes.
Shot to the heart. Very tough.
I like how the narrative is not that they shot a bunch of threes. Because nobody talks about, like, they just literally shot themselves out of the game. Like, they're like, Curry's the best. And this is not like a biased Celtics hate. Like, I like Curry. I don't remember. Like, I know he had a lot of points that game. All I remember is them just shooting a bunch of threes.
Yeah, no, I know. What
you like, mean. I don't remember Steph doing anything like crazy down the stretch. I just remember like, no, Curry, they were like, here's another three we're gonna miss, so you don't have to play defense.
No, Curry did have a big name. I'll give him that.
He did. He had a monster game. I just don't remember like in the fourth quarter him being crazy. Mm-hmm. I just remember the Celtics just let them walk back into the game.
I got you.
Oh,
anyway,
look, I'm all worked up now.
I think that about wraps it up before Sam has a hernia. I'll do my two quick plugs. Subscribe to How About Them Celtics on YouTube. We're back at 299, so help us out. Get back to 300.
Hey, when we made people subscribe, a lot of people watched.
Exactly.
Maybe subscribing helps again. The algorithm.
Yes. Go subscribe. Would greatly appreciate it. Help us get back to 300.
A pod that I did not think we did very good on, by the way.
Yeah, no, it was
a good pod. I told Jack, I was like, I was about to message you 10 minutes in and be like, delete this. Let's start again. I thought our start was weak.
Good pod. I thought it was fine. We should talk
this
about
was a good pod. Fighting.
This was also a good
one. Excellent.
Go like my tweet about Blake Griffin putting the mask on. Helped you. It's got a lot of likes. I'll plug that. But most importantly, leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I asked all of you last time to leave a review. I have not checked if anybody did. But go down in there in the reviews. Leave 5 stars and say something nice about us. No reviews there just yet, so you guys didn't listen to me. Kind of fake, but that is okay. We did get 2 more ratings on Apple, though, so I'll keep saying it. 5 stars. Hit the 3 dots on Spotify. Hit rate this pod. Leave 5. Same thing on Apple Podcasts. Scroll all the way down. Leave 5 stars. If you're not going to leave 5 stars, go be mean to us in the YouTube comments. That's fine. Go.
Yeah,
say
I like
stuff.
The YouTube comments.
Fine. I like reading them anyways. You can be mean all you want. We'll like it, and we love you. Anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. I'll let Sam wrap it up.
Yeah, thank you very much for listening or watching. If you're watching, you're on YouTube at How About Them Celtics. Make sure you subscribe, leave a like, comment. Doesn't matter if you're nice, can be mean. If you're not there, you're on whatever streaming platform it is you use to listen to your pods. Make sure you follow us, leave a review, like Jack said. If you want more of us, at How About Them C's, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook is just the name of the pod there. If you're on Facebook, you'll get our pregame streams there, as well as Heavy on Celtics, as well as their YouTube. On top of that, at Jack's Mon NBA, Jack is doing a ton of good work for Celtics Blog. He's scheduling tweets for when his articles are going up instead of actually waking up to post them. And you can follow me at Sam LaFrance NBA for me to complain about. I don't know. I don't have a lot to complain about today. That's it for us. Bye. Tic-tac-o.